All right, welcome to the show, everybody. It is another day here at Atomcast IRL. Exciting day. We are going to be talking about the Federalist Papers. Now, I say we because I am currently not alone. Joining me today is Tiffany. Welcome, Tiffany.
Hey, thank you for having me, Adam.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Tiffany has been reading. You read more books than I think anyone I know in life. How many books did you read in 2020? What's the number?
The count was 62.
62 books. She read 62 books last year in 2020. 62. That's a lot of books. I think I may have read two books. I mean, I've been scouring the internet. I've probably read many books worth of text as far as like news and stuff that I've read. But as far as books go, you definitely take the cake. All right. So Tiffany has read you've read the Federalist Papers.
Yes.
You've read them all.
I read them all the way through in 2018, mm-hmm. and I have reread them in 2020 and now 2021.
Wow. All right. So I've done a few things myself looking into the Federalist Papers, and certainly you are, well, probably more versed in them than I am, but, you know, we're going to be talking about what the Federalist Papers are. You know, this, I haven't done a deep dive in a while, and I felt like it was due time. This is important, though, because it really is part of the reason our nation has become what it is. Became a nation.
Yes.
You know, without the Federalist Papers, probably some states may not have ratified the Constitution, which is very interesting. So before we get into that, I just want to say thanks to everyone who sent in a self-addressed stamped envelope. I have since put stickers in all of those envelopes. I've signed all the stickers, and I'm getting ready to send those all off. I have the skateboard that I'm going to give away packaged, ready to go, and I'm going to be sending that out. Before we get into the Federalist Papers, I just want to say, please go to my website, adamkrigler.net, and you can check out all of my videos, my podcast, my coffee shop. You can also donate to me directly, and here's my physical mail. Now, I have... The contest is over for the skateboard, but look, if you want a sticker, I will give you a sticker. I don't think I'm ever going to stop this, all right? I didn't even make a dent in my sticker collection. Okay, so if you want a sticker, a skate sticker signed by me, all you have to do is send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send you a sticker. No worries. So there's my P.O. Box, P.O. Box 68, Brunswick, Maryland, 21716, and I'll send it your way. Of course, I have my PayPal and my Bitcoin wallet. You can donate to me directly. I also have my Locals channel, adamcastirl.locals.com. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be on Twitter. Twitter seems to be getting rid of everyone on their platform that doesn't agree with the main narrative. I can't believe I'm still on Twitter, to be honest. I don't know how much longer that's going to last, but if that does happen, I will be on Locals a lot more. And of course, we all know what happened to Parler. Parler got nuked by Amazon. I don't know if they're going to be back. They claim that the CEO of Parler did say that they're going to be back, but who knows? And then, of course, it wouldn't be the same if I didn't plug my delicious coffee company. You can actually see a bag. I have, can you see the bag? There's a bag of Krigler coffee behind me. Delicious coffee. You can check it out. You can actually subscribe for 5% off any of the coffee that you'd like. Everybody seems to really enjoy the coffee. I love this coffee. I'm very happy about it. So with that all said, smash that like button. Please hit subscribe down below. Go ahead, say it.
Smash that like button.
You heard the woman. Smash that like button. I'm gonna have you put on the Hulk gloves later.
Yeah.
Calm yourself with the swear words.
Yes.
Well, granted, technically, some might say it's not, but this is a PG show. Okay, we tend to not drop those bombs around here. Sorry, YouTube. She didn't mean it. She didn't know. But through Tim, what I know, you get one or two or something before they
copy
go.
That.
They're like, all right, now it's verbal abuse. But anyway, I know I have some younger kids that do watch the show. So. All right, without further ado, let us get into the Federalist Papers, okay? Now, I have a little bit of an article here that just kind of introduces them perfectly. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to discuss it, and I want to hear what your take of what it is as a little more specific details. All right, so this is from history.com. In October 1787, the first in a series of 85 essays arguing for the ratification of the proposed U.S. Constitution appeared in the Independent Journal under the pseudonym Publius. addressed to the people of the state of New York. And the essays, now known as the Federalist Papers, were actually written by the statesmen Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, John Jay, leading supporters of the Constitution and the strong nation government it created. They would have been published serially from 1787 to 88 in several New York newspapers. The first 77 essays, including Madison's famous Federalist 10, appeared in the book form in 1788, entitled The Federalist. It has been hailed as one of the most important political documents in U.S. history. Would you say that's accurate?
Yes.
Yeah?
It was a preliminary to the Bill of Rights also, so yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. All right, so how would you describe what the Federalist Papers was, you know? And what was the real reason? Obviously, it was to have the states ratify. The states weren't all on board, you know? What's the deal?
Yes. A good way to describe it would be a kind of rhetoric, because it was not only addressing Congress itself, but it was also disseminated throughout the American people mm-hmm. to let everybody know it's like, hey, we have these specific problems with between the states and between creating smaller confederacies in our country. So what we need to do is unite under one banner and one central government, because the central government can give this and this benefit to this and this state. And yeah, it was basically like an essay or a community letter.
Okay. So I think a lot of people might actually be a surprise to know that we weren't united, as someone might think, in 1776 when the Constitution was written. It's like, you know, America was born then, but it wasn't fully formed, is the best way to put it. So I guess the Federalist Papers, to make sense of it, would be to convince everybody that that's the best course of action,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, and what... One thing that the Founding Fathers, but also the people of America at that time, were very concerned about was that they just got out of under the thumb of Great Britain, a centralized, tyrannical government, clumsy, in debt, much like now.
Yeah.
So the way they formulated the Articles of Confederation was that it was very, very centered on the states, each individual state. So it was one nation, and everyone spoke a similar language and had the same religion, blah, blah, pretty uniform. But each state had its own economy, very different. For instance, the southern states still had slavery. And so there was all this tit-for-tat with how to tax things in the Articles of Confederation, which was the preemptive of the U.S. Constitution. And the southern states negotiated, it's like, no, we don't want taxes this way because it screws us because of our population size. And so tit-for-tat with that. But it was, as you said, focused very much on states' rights. Now, essays go in depth, the Federalist Papers, of yes, you will still have states' rights. Yes, states will have representatives, and everyone will have equal representation, and you will all have a lot of autonomy. We just need this certain thing. We need Congress to be a centralized power and have the ability to actually collect taxes from all of you, and we can't let you split up into your own separate little bands and create your treaties between, like, all the southern... The southern economies were all similar, so obviously, as what happened with the Civil War, they would band together, but then that would make them vulnerable to attacks from, like, the Dutch, for instance, who were big players at the time because of their shipping power.
Yeah, the Navy.
Yeah, yep, and also they controlled all the trade. They were basically the middlemen of that time. And so they had to deal with, we don't want your goods to get undercut because you... are a separate confederacy and you enter into different treaties. So that's why, even though we have, you don't want necessarily all the same tax laws, we need one national government to negotiate treaties and the tariffs, et cetera, so forth.
And also to bring us all under the same currency, correct?
We did have it, apparently. The currency.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's a very specific thing, and I'll try to explain it carefully. Basically, the currency was the same. I think it was like gold sovereign still, or they might have been trending into the dollar at that time. But I believe that because, simply speaking, more trade went through New York specifically than North Carolina, that North Carolina's like bills weren't as lucrative as like a place like New York.
Okay.
And so that's why a lot of these essays are addressed to the people of New York. Because another thing I just read, that the capital of the United States at that time was New York City.
Ah.
They did back and forth with it being Philadelphia, but then they were considering New York City, and there was a lot of commerce in New York City at the time. So it's like it was basically addressing a central hub of commerce and also political power to share the wealth.
Okay. This sums it up right here. This is further down in the same article. It says there's a debate over the Constitution. As the first written constitution of the newly independent United States, the Articles of the Confederation, as you mentioned, nominally granted Congress the power to conduct foreign policy, maintain armed forces, and coin money. But in practice, this centralized government body had little authority over the individual states, including no power to levy taxes, regulate commerce, which hampered the new nation's ability to pay its outstanding debts from the Revolutionary War. And you actually mentioned that because they had no way to actually tax everybody and pay for the army that they were trying to build to then protect, you know, the whole country from the Dutch Navy or, you know, pirates. I'm sure was a lot more prevalent back then.
Yes.
Although I do have a side story of meeting pirates myself. Land pirates, they're called, in Belgium. I'm not joking. This is a real story. I saw land pirates breaking into an RV, and I was traveling in an RV, and I saw them. And I guess that's a normal thing. All right, I'm getting sidetracked, but it's a cool story.
That is a cool story.
I needed to bring that up because I actually did deal with pirates in the past. All right, so the Federalist Papers is to really try to, how do I put it, clean things up, if you will, right? Is to really try to, you know, sum everything up and make this country function fluidly instead of being a hodgepodge of different people trying to do their different things, right? It kind of sums it up better.
And to not let other nations at the time who were bullying us, because it's weird to think of America as so weak, but we definitely started out as weak. So it's definitely a steel man argument for a national government then. I've been reflecting on how we bicker about how big our national government is now. But at the time, yeah, these essays steel man why we needed a strong central authority. And also about the shipping and the pirates. Yes, absolutely. Between Dutch, British, anyone trading with us, and like basically they could, if they were to trade with individual states, they would be able to undercut, like, oh, we're gonna go to Rhode Island because their shipping is way cheaper than New York, and New York could say, well, we have the specific goods, but that only goes so far. Eventually you're gonna undercut the country, but it would undercut the country, so right. That wouldn't work. And pirates, yeah, they needed national defense. And it was also pertinent that Hamilton, people probably know a lot about Hamilton because of the musical that's really popular right now.
I still
now.
Haven't seen it.
I've watched 2/3 of it. I just can't get into it. I don't like it.
Why?
I think it's
because it's not accurate or what?
It's accurate. Uh-huh. The whole changing the race of the characters thing doesn't really matter. It is accurate to his story.
Okay.
I just don't like rap.
Oh, is it rap?
Yeah, it's like a rap musical.
It's rap, really? I thought it would have been...
Yeah,
I don't know. I think musical, and I've only been to a few. Aladdin, Lion King, and Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. Those are the three that I've been to.
I need to see Lion King. Yeah, good choices. Right. Yeah, I just can't get into it.
Okay.
But
it's accurate.
Yes.
Cool.
Because Hamilton's history was like, yeah, he wanted political power. He was really in the game of that time. But also, he got his start working for shipping companies. When he was like 13, he started working. So he really knew the ins and outs of like what it takes for a shipyard and ships and inventory and all that stuff to work.
Yep.
So he wasn't just blowing smoke when he knew it's like, no, we need this structure of taxation. We need this structure of commerce protection and regulation. Because otherwise, I've seen it before, Dutch and British are going to work together to undercut us. And that we're never going to get started as a nation.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you can argue that eventually the real wealth of our nation was the land, the water, the food, and like our nation feeds the whole world now.
Resources, yeah.
So it's difficult to say if we ever really needed a national government. Like, let's say for argument that we never got one. They just said, nope, we want to stay decentralized. The wealth of our country might have been strong enough that we might have eventually be able to become a superpower anyway, but we'll never know because we do have a national government.
That's true. Yeah, we do. So let's talk about the individual papers.
Yes.
Right, because they were split up. 85, right? Is 85 yes. different papers? Okay, so I actually have something here. The first one, what was the first one? The first paper, Hamilton, lays the groundwork for the rest of the papers by addressing personal bias and how it relates to motive and reason in politics. That's really important because that's never going to go away. And that's really interesting because right off the bat, they're saying that, you know, there's bias and political motivations and motives behind everyone and what they're doing. And I like that because, he actually is very old English. There's a quote from Hamilton here. I'm going to try to read it and we'll break it down. It cannot be doubted that much of the opposition, which has made its appearance or may hereafter make its appearance, will spring from sources blameless, at least, if not respectable, the honest errors of minds led astray by preconceived jealousies and fears. Hamilton. So, I mean, all I can think of is lobbyists, you
yes.
know, and how like the government has shifted from economy based, like you mentioned, you know, he was in the business and he understood the way business and the Congress and protecting businesses is important. Mm-hmm. And now most politicians are lawyers now. They don't know economies, where Trump, you know, has a degree in economics, which is an interesting, you know, it's interesting to see that because he looks at it from a different perspective. Understanding businesses is a huge thing. So, you know, now I've learned through this that the founding fathers understand business and understood how important it was to protect businesses. And I feel like we're losing that. Now it's all, you know, these lawyers trying to lawyer their way through with semantics and these vague, you know, power grabs. And the first paper talks about that
yep.
and how that is going to be prevalent moving forward. And we seem to have lost that. So the very first paper is like, hey, there's going to be people that are going to be jealous. They're going to have their own bias. We got to know about it and we got to be prepared for it. It's like, man, first paper right off the bat, slamming it home to this day. Very important.
Yes, it is, because it shows Alexander Hamilton's devotion to the noble ambition of the founding fathers, because America is an experiment.
Yeah.
The most risky experiment. Can all individuals of a massive nation each govern and be responsible to be able to govern themselves? And that's the experiment and freedom.
Yep.
It's worked so far. It's done great things. But yes, it's, I think one thing we might be heartened by is the kind of small return to notion of business. There's a few Republican congressmen and Andrew Yang who own their own businesses first. And coincidentally, between Andrew Yang, he has compassion for people and wants the UBI, but also the Republican senators who have businesses, like the women, Lauren Boebert and Loeffler, I believe she owns a business.
Okay.
They're the ones who advocate for lower taxes. So yeah, it would be nice if all our Congress people had to have their own businesses again, or at least respected it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just look at the omnibus bill about how much money we give to the rest of the world. You know, we didn't create this country to be this, you know,
pork barrel.
Okay, one way of putting it. But you know, I don't know. How would I say it? Like the caretaker of the earth.
Yeah,
you know,
the Earth's babysitter. Yeah,
that's a good way of putting it too. You know, I used to believe we were the world. You know, I didn't believe that we were. I believed that we acted as though we were the world police, and I kind of had an issue with it. I'm like, why are we policing the world? You know, I mean, I kind of understand the need to keep China in check. You know, if China wants to take over the world, newsflash, they do, and has admitted as such. There needs to be someone to check them. You know, because I think if we weren't here, they would have already run rampant and taken over the world. Mm-hmm. So policing the world is one thing, but then giving, you know, help monetarily to, I mean, how many different countries did we give money to? My
Basically
goodness.
All of them.
I know. It's a ridiculous amount. But you know, how can we have, if we took that money and stopped, you know, giving it elsewhere, because it's tax money.
It's our money.
It's our money.
Yeah.
We're literally giving our money. I'm sorry. I say we. The government is literally taking our money, giving it to other countries.
That's exactly it. Like, yeah. We don't, like, I get so upset because obviously the rest of the world hates America and they might treat Americans poorly or look down on us. But it's like, our government lies to us. We vote to them because they promise us yeah. that they're going to not do this stuff. And then it's like, it's the bureaucracies, the permanent, the unelected officials.
Yep.
It's just one endless cycle that we don't control anymore. And yep. that was not what the Founding Fathers intended.
Absolutely not. Yep. And it's interesting because, let's go to the next one. I want to talk about 10, which some have argued is the most important of the Federalist Papers, number 10. I actually have it here. Let me read it to you. Let's see here. Number 10 is, this is by Madison. The same, it's the Union as a safeguard against domestic faction and insurrection. Okay? Here's a little article I have about it. Federalist Paper 10 is often thought as the most important and the most famous Federalist paper. Written by Madison, it deals with the problem of factions. A common fear for the new government was that small groups or factions would compromise the integrity and stability of the new government. Madison outlines the plan for a democracy that allows a vote per person, but also points towards the use of a republic, whereby citizens vote for delegates to make decisions for them, i.e. our modern Congress. He calls this a representative democracy, which we now have. See the first quotation below, which I will read. He sees this as a way to protect from minority factions taking over the government, but also as a way to protect minority opinion, writes. Fit people, as he called them, would make decisions, but would also have to negotiate so that no one faction or corrupt politician can control the government. Did you hear all that I just said? Okay, now apply it to today, right? Think about what's going on right now. They're trying to get rid of the Electoral College. It's written in our Constitution that we the people. Now, this Federalist paper is saying that we are not a democracy, which we are not. We are a constitutional republic, okay? That even the minority has a say. Okay, these people that are all complaining that, you know, majority rules, but then they want majority rule, they really have this double standard all over the place. Don't even get me started on hypocrisy, right? But we can see the importance of letting the smaller states have a say in the whole of what we are. And that's part of, a lot of this has to do with those smaller states. What were you telling me about Rhode Island? Tell me that story, because that's a small state. Rhode Island's tiny.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Rhode Island was one of the last ones to actually ratify the Constitution as it was rewritten, like after the Federalist Paper arguments.
Yeah.
And if memory serves me right, it was because they were like a trade walkway
yeah.
between New York and a bunch of other states. And so that was lucrative for them because, as I said earlier, New York was like the richest one, the center of commerce. They had some of the most lucrative bills of sale before the currency was per se one currency.
Uniform.
So,
right.
Yeah, it was basically in their benefit. It's like that bias. The parties working against each other. What did the factions?
Right.
It was basically the government was abiding by and getting money of being a faction or forming a confederacy or forming personal alliances with New York and not benefiting the rest of the Union.
Yeah.
And also with your thing with like the minority being represented. Yes, it's because anyone who's Marxist or anyone who just doesn't love this country, essentially, or know much about it, not even love it, but just not know much about it, they misconstrue us as a democracy. But that's actually important because they don't realize that they are giving up their voice
yeah.
by undercutting the Electoral College. And that's one discrepancy or one problem I've had with this recent election. It's like everyone's celebrating, oh, who cares? Count all the votes, even if they're fake. The liberals don't understand that they're watering down their own vote by yep. promoting this cheating.
Oh, they have no idea.
Yeah. So yep. a constitutional republic really, because you can still have the public square. One individual across the whole country can speak up in this country.
Yep, absolutely. Well, As long as we have free speech still, because we have, I mean, you saw what happened to Parler, right?
I think we're in the 11th hour of that.
Parler got nuked. They're supposedly they are going to get hosted by the same people that host Gab. So we'll see about that. But even today, I want to stay on the Federalist Papers. I just want to say, you know, Twitter came out saying, you know, it's terrible that, you know, online suppression is a thing because there's some voting in Uganda or something. And we're like, what about the United States of America, huh?
It was incredulous at their flagrant hypocrisy.
Gosh, it's ridiculous. All right, but I want to bring up Paper 39, actually, because I feel like it works. I mean, we need to talk about it because this is something that I found really interesting. So number 39, all right, this paper establishes that the Constitution is a pact amongst separate sovereign nations and not the consolidation of such into a single nation. We're called the United States of America, okay? We're not just simply America. We're the United States of America. Basically saying a governor is the president of their state, of their individual sovereign state, which is what we are. We're United States of America, okay? The president and Congress and, you know, the judicial, you know, the Supreme Court, like there are checks and balances that has become very powerful over the years, and it was explain what Abraham Lincoln did, because he expanded this, correct? Because it wasn't as big as before him. He's the one who actually did this.
Yeah.
But he needed to, which is weird, because it's like it was worth it because we ended slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Which is absolutely worth it, you know, we got rid of that, and that, and we fought the Civil War and won and ended slavery, and that's it's incredible, but at the cost of now making the government super powerful, right? Go ahead. You were explaining it before the show.
Yes. I'll try to break it down into two parts. Okay. What I know that Abraham Lincoln did was twofold. He squashed dissidents.
Right.
And so he basically expanded the federal government's powers about people who criticize it. And I think he also expanded the federal government's ability to collect taxes because they were obviously getting really broke. Because wars are really expensive.
Hold on, that first one. Let's go back to that one, because that's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Or you think about that. He gave the government the ability to squash dissidents.
Yes.
Right. Free so speech. If you speak up against the government, he can get rid of you.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Yes.
That, you know, I don't think that when I think Abraham Lincoln, like I'm not thinking that he's squashing people that doesn't like what he has to say.
Yeah.
That's pretty dark.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
One thing I think he did was, like, one of his critics, I think he said, why don't you just go to the South then, basically. And I think he also, like, just suppressed certain newspapers from being distributed.
Wow.
Ones that were critical of the war.
Interesting. No bueno. All right, what was the second one? Sorry, I cut you off because middle of explaining that. So the first one, he was able to cut off dissidents. And what was the next one you were going to explain?
Those were the two explanations for what Abraham Lincoln did. But what was your question really quick? I lost.
I just wanted to know what Abraham Lincoln did to increase the power of the government in the Civil War. And you said the ability to crush dissidents and then something else. I don't remember the second one.
And gather more taxes.
Oh, and gather more taxes.
Yeah. I need to be careful. I encourage you and everyone else out there to read more on it, because the Civil War is very impactful.
Yeah.
Well,
look, we weren't prepared to discuss the Civil War.
Yeah.
And what Abraham Lincoln, I kind of put you on the spot there. Sorry about that.
That's all good.
That wasn't
the plan.
About
the Federalist Papers, what's tragic about the Civil War even happening is because in the negotiations for how to tax people,
mm-hmm.
While forming the new Constitution, we almost got rid of slavery because it was supposed to be based off like a land tax at first, but then they said, no, don't do that. And then they said population. And then the Southern states, of course, had slaves. And, like, we don't want our slaves to be counted. So it's like we were so close then to
get rid of slavery.
Getting rid of slavery and saying, no, they're regular people. You need to be taxed according to being all citizens or just shut up. So it was like so close to being solved back then.
Dang.
But we didn't. So unfortunately, we got the Civil War and extra slavery.
But let's bring it back to the Federalist Papers, because they actually talk about taxes, right?
Yes.
Which papers is that? Or
31 to 34.
Okay, and explain what were they basically trying to get everyone to talk about?
it's
just the ability to tax everyone equally,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, basically. And like each, as we were saying before, each state is sovereign.
Okay.
And like that was taken to the extreme because different economies and different income and stuff like that. And they wouldn't be able to pull their weight. And so one big qualm that richer states had with like being united mm-hmm. with these poorer ones, it's like, we don't want to pull their weight with like paying more taxes because of our populations or because of our wealth. It's like you're punishing the successful. So we don't want to unite with them. And it was like saying no. It was basically detailing, and there's so many details. I'm doing my best, but there's lots of details how they would exactly relay taxes so that everything was taxed equally and that New York wouldn't just get the shaft with getting taxed way, way more.
I am curious as to how they did convince those wealthy states that, no, you're not going to just be pulling the weight of these smaller states. Like, I know Rhode Island had its own thing, you know, going on, but there are other small states that clearly didn't make as much as New York did, because New York was, you know, bustling, you know,
metropolis,
yeah, that had all of the businesses there,
and they still had rich farmland too.
Yeah, exactly. So they were making killer money. How you know, why would they have ever been like, all right, fine, we'll start paying taxes and into this federal system and have them control stuff.
That jogged my memory about what I was explaining before about, you know, like the Dutch and the British undercutting because using cheaper harbors and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what they convinced New York with, for instance, was we were going to say, hey, if we're going to be a united nation and our currency is going to be equal and united, this way, no matter where the British trade, whichever harbor, like in South Carolina or in New York Harbor, mm-hmm. we're going to have the same tariffs, we're going to have the same taxes, and we're just going to have the same laws with, like, so that the British can't underbid with a poor state because they're desperate and based off cotton and stuff like that. I don't want to go back to the Civil War. One quick point. During the Civil War, that actually happened. The South, Britain was wanting the South's cotton, and uh-huh. they were selling it to him cheap. And the North was like, what the heck? So they sold propaganda to Britain, and then Britain didn't want to buy the South's cotton anymore, and that screwed him over. But yeah. like I said, that separate confederacies with undercutting each other's economies.
Yeah.
That's the argument that they used. Succinct, the same tariffs and taxes would benefit New York in the long run because then your currency, your value, your goods don't get undercut or undervalued.
That makes a lot of sense. So, mm-hmm. you know, go there, go here, it's going to be the same price. So why are you going to go to some tiny little dock down in South Carolina? You're going to have to pay to have a you know, shipped yeah. up to where all the stores are here in New York.
Yeah.
Might as well just come here in New York. The taxes are the same.
And they could. They that just wouldn't be offering different tariffs. It's like, hey, align with us. We'll give you good deals and then you can stick it to New York. Yeah. That's what they were trying to prevent.
Okay. Right. Interesting. Okay. Well, good. All right. So I'm gonna read a little bit more about the Paper 39, which was by Madison, which, you know, we kind of touched light in that is the paper establishes the Constitution is a pact amongst separate sovereign nations and not the consolidation of such into a single nation. I'm going to read a little bit more about this. Mm-hmm. If we resort to a criterion of the different principles on which different forms of government are established, we may define a republic to be, or at least may bestow that name on, a government which derives all its power directly or indirectly from the greater body of the people, and is administered by persons holding their offices during pleasure for a limited period or during good behavior. It is essential to such a government that is to be derived from the great body of the society, not from the inconsiderable portion or the favored class of it. Otherwise, a handful of tyrannical nobles exercising their oppressions by a delegation of their powers might aspire to the rank of republicans and claim for their government the honorable title of republic. It is sufficient for such a government that the persons administering it to be appointed, either directly or indirectly, by the people, and that they hold their appointments by either of the tenures just specified. Otherwise, every government in the United States, as well as every other popular government that has been or can be well organized or well executed, would be degraded from the republican character. term limits.
Yeah.
Term limits.
It's literally arguing
across
right there.
The board.
How do we not already have that? That's crazy.
I know. He's laying it out like it's going to happen. Like, why don't we? How Biden's been? Everyone says 47 years. It's 48 years. Biden's been in our government institutions for 48 years. Some of these people are in there over and over and over again, and they're just mumbling and going with the flow. They don't even know that society outside of their little DC bubble has changed. Okay, and I think that's ridiculous, and we're losing the republic.
Mm-hmm. It, what's even more pathetic is that some of those people who have been in the government for like 50 years, they don't even pass any bills of significance.
I know.
I mean, I could be wrong because I don't. Anyway, isn't it Maxine Waters who hasn't actually passed any significant legislature?
I don't know. To be honest, my political awakening happened about a year ago. Not even a year ago. You know, it was about maybe April, because the Timcast IRL show wasn't supposed to be political at all. We were supposed to do aliens, movies, culture, fun stuff, you know, and then, of course, COVID hit and it just became COVID and politics and then politics. And then I had no choice but to become aware of what was going on. But it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to stay on the papers. All right, I'm going to move to another because there's many. There's 85, all right, and they're all very different. Some of them, like you said, 31 to 37 or something, right, is about more of the taxation and how that's going to work.
Yes.
I'm going to walk. Oh, man, we're actually moving right along, aren't we? All right. I'm going to talk about Paper 51, and you actually we talked about this a little bit earlier. This is by Madison. The structure of the government must furnish the proper checks and balances between the different departments. Hmm.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Do you think that we still do that? Just asking, you know, those watching. Do you think we still have a good checks and balances? Here they're trying to impeach President Trump again when he's got a week left, you know? It's like, despite what you may believe, whatever, you know, if he's got a week left, then why? What is their point? Don't you think they have better things to do, to worry about? I just don't.
That's exactly it, though.
Yeah.
They are worried about him because he knows their secrets and he could run again in 2024 if they don't impeach him.
Mm.
But people are dissenting and the impeachment might not get passed. I hope it does not get passed.
Yeah, I'm seeing pictures of people, or not pictures, rather tweets and conversations about how this one Republican has been... has said yes to impeachment. It's like, okay. And anyway, it's not gonna go that way. I doubt they're gonna impeach him.
You know what's interesting about that Hamilton quote that we started with? It's like, it's essentially a bringing together of the entirety of the book Thinking Fast and Slow, talking about all the biases and like just that book is a really detailed book, but
yeah.
it's like a succinct version of that book. It was very interesting.
For those who don't know, the first quote that I read was about Hamilton's, it was the first paper, the first very first Federalist paper is about the biases and you know, motivations behind politicians and talking about it and basically saying it's going to always exist. So just to lay out a little groundwork, I mean, I think it's more prevalent now than ever before, because back in the day it felt like everyone kind of had the same idea: maintain freedom, you know, fight against tyranny, which this country is founded because we were sick of, you know, ruled by a king that told us what we were supposed to do, and we were like, we're done, listen to you,
and fight for our interests of the American people,
right?
It's like ultimately the fourth branch, the people branch, was the most important one.
Yes.
The longer.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it's still the most important, but they don't think so.
Well, I mean, we the people certainly think so, and I hope that you think so, because you are, well, if you are an American, I don't know if everyone who watches my show is American or not, but for my American fellows that are sitting here watching my show, We the people. This was founded on we the people. This being our country, America, the United States of America, mind you. All right, so I want to read a little bit more about Paper 51, which is about the proper checks and balances between the different departments. All right, this paper argues for checks and balances as well as a separation of powers. In creating this system, Madison's idea was that the politicians and the individuals in public service in the U.S. would have proclamations and ideas that they were passionate about what they wanted to work hard to enact. The logical solution to ensure that laws and strong ideas were not enacted by a small group of partisan individuals was to use a federalist system where each level of government had different branches, each branch having the authority to impact legislation proposed by other branches. One of the main ways the Federalist Paper 51 was able to encourage checks and balances was by emphasizing the word liberty and describing that liberty would directly result from the implication of these governmental concepts. We have to bring back checks and balances in the old-fashioned way. You know what I've seen in the past year? That as long as one group controls all the different facets, they can do whatever they want. That's what I think we're seeing. They have judges. I would like to say call someone out right now, but I'm not going to because I know there's a microscope on me right now. Okay? People tell me all the time that my show's shadow banned. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, and it doesn't matter because I'm going to continue doing my show. Doesn't matter. But from what I've seen, okay, they have different facets and realized that if you just have all the different sides of the things, the checks and balances will always check and balance in your favor because you have everybody. And that's a scary thing because that's not true checks and balances anymore. They figured out if they just infiltrate everything, they got it done. Who's going to check and balance if they, you know, if I pay you enough, you're going to agree with me.
Yeah.
Here's enough money. Okay. You work for me now. Good. All right. I'm going to vote this way. Which way are you voting?
The way you want.
Thank you very much. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how our system works nowadays. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have anything to say about 51? And we don't have too much more time. So
that's fine.
It's interesting. It's hard to squeeze the Federalist Papers into an hour. I think we're doing a pretty good job so far.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this. And that's part of why I was psyching myself out. I was like, these are so detailed. I want to have everything memorized.
I know.
But I was listening to the Political Orphanage podcast. No endorsement by anyone. I just listened to it.
Okay.
But it was talking about how the judicial branch and how judges are supposed to be impartisan and things like
yes.
that. And so what's happening and what happened during FDR's time, too, is that the judicial branch, the interpretation of the law itself is becoming vulnerable to both factions, like polarizing everything.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the center point, the stable point.
Yeah.
But it's still getting compromised and pulled. Like with everyone referring to the judges, with how awful they treat Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh.
Right.
And how they revere Ruth Bader Ginsburg, rest in peace, and Sotomayor and all that. That's not supposed to happen.
Right. They're
not supposed to be a Democrat or Republican judge. They're supposed to be a judge.
Or a conservative judge.
Yes.
It's like, and that's something that Amy always said. She's like, I just follow the Constitution.
Yep.
I'm a constitutionalist.
Yes.
Stop asking me what my personal bias of things is. They asked her, they were trying to trap her constantly.
Yes.
And it was so, now I wasn't political during the Kavanaugh hearings, you know, that wasn't I didn't pay attention back then, but you're right, and it shouldn't be that way. They shouldn't even be asking these things, or maybe they should, because if someone is clearly biased going in, they should be checked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was brutally them trying to trip her up. That's what it was.
Yes.
Which is a shame. But you make a good point. That is what we need. We need the judges to be impartial. They need to interpret the law. That's it.
You can argue that the way to fix the problem, everyone's been, and I think about this too, how do we fix the problem? What do we do to stand up? What do we do?
Yeah.
I think you could argue that the way to fix the problem would be to slightly reform the legislative and executive branches again so that they're more like the judicial branch again and just interpreting the law and keeping it as small as possible. Not empty promises of small government, but actually like changing the law and the infrastructure so that we don't get oligarchy, but we also don't get fascism or whatever this system is that we have now.
Well, that's tough. Redoing what we have. I mean, some have argued, especially as of late, that that's a must, that we need to redo everything. I mean, the implications of that is incredible. Yeah, of course, massive. Like, jeez, like what does that mean? Like, you know, fire everybody and have a completely new government of people that I don't know. I don't know the answers to that.
Have some hope. That's what our founding fathers and the government that was set up just after we defected from Great Britain.
True.
They were all inexperienced and they all just stepped up.
Yeah, so. They were 20, 22, 20, 19. These guys were young. You know, everyone, you picture George Washington in their head and he's this old white haired military leader crossing the Rubicon, you know, or not crossing the Delaware River, but, you know, it's any of these people, you think the white haired, but that came later. You know, when this was going on, they were young. They were in their early 20s. These kids, they were, I mean, I don't want to say kids because, you know, 18 is an adult. And nowadays, you think what a 18-year-old is thinking, and they're thinking, you know, who's going to be my next lay? Who's going to, you know, where am I going to college? What am I going to do when I grow up? Back then, they knew exactly what they were going to do when they grew up. They had been adults for probably 5 or 6 years since they were, I mean, we are in a completely different place than where they were, you know? All right, I want to get back to the paper. So let's keep trucking around and pinpointing a couple more specific ones. Is there any paper that I haven't talked about that you want to talk about?
No.
Okay, I want to talk about the 70th paper. Okay, this is by Hamilton. Okay, the executive department further considered. All right, in this paper, Hamilton argues that unity in the executive branch is a main ingredient for both energy and safety. Energy arises from the proceedings of a single person characterized by decision, activity, secrecy, and dispatch, while safety arises from the unitary executive's unconcealed accountability to the people. According to Alexander Hamilton, a unitary executive is necessary to ensure accountability in government. Does that sound familiar to you?
Sounds great. Sounds like what we need.
I want to say that again. According to Alexander Hamilton, the unitary executive is necessary to ensure accountability in government. I know everyone who listens to my show knows exactly who I'm thinking about right now. Number two, enable the president to defend against legislative encroachments on his power. Man. Number three, ensure energy in the executive. Hamilton argues that a unitary executive structure will best permit purpose, direction, and flexibility in the executive branch, especially necessary during times of emergency and warfare. When I first read that, I got a little chills. I was like, wow, like that's incredible. Like, what are we seeing right now? Trump has been talking about making America great again, right? And what does that mean? And I'm thinking about the encroachment of power that these, I don't want to say Democrat, Republican, whatever, government officials, I'll just say, government officials. Anyone has the ability to be greedy and to have power corrupt, right? And I don't think anyone is safe from that. And that's why earlier on, you know, they talked about corruption and how it infiltrates. That's why term limits, I think, is important. But it's interesting that that's to ensure the accountability in government. It's like, man, that's what I'm seeing. All right, let's move on.
For the checks and balances, it would be a nice start if the officials themselves in our country would actually advocate themselves for term limits and limitations on their power, because power corrupts absolutely.
Absolutely.
And those who are most suited for power do not seek it.
Yep. That right there nails it. And that's a shame. You know, government seems boring and blah, you know, a bunch of people discussing laws and blah, so boring. But in reality, it's like those people are dictating our future freedoms, which are, it defined what our freedoms are. We're born with those freedoms. The government doesn't tell us what our freedoms are. We're born with them. And it's there. They are now slowly reducing those freedoms in the name of safety and our for our betterment.
It's disgusting, but it seems like they're not even moving slowly anymore on the encroachment of our freedoms.
Ain't
it's
that
like
the truth?
It's accelerating.
Yep, ain't that the truth? All right, let's move on. This is Federalist Paper 78. This is by Hamilton. All right, this is about the Judiciary Department. This paper is cited by the Supreme Court the most fairly obvious reasons, or for fairly obvious reasons. It establishes the authority of the judicial branch to judge, not to act. We kind of talked about this already. Hamilton argues that life tenure is the most valuable advance in the theory of representation, representative government. Permanency in office frees judges from political pressures and prevents invasions on judicial power by the president and Congress. The concept of judicial review is also established in this paper. Unless the courts are independent and have the power to declare laws in violation of the Constitution null and void, those protections amount to nothing. And when you that's in a perfect system where the judges are impartial and aren't Democrat or Republican, and now we have the left has been like, stack the courts. It's like, God, you are literally saying throw out the Constitution. That's what I'm hearing. Yes. Every time I see, whenever someone says that to me, stack the court, just throw out the Constitution. Get rid of it. We don't need it anymore. What?
It also shows their ignorance about what political bias will do. It's like a boomerang effect. It will come back to haunt them. And yep. Then there will be no escape from it because the very system that they created, that they wanted to inflate, will crush them. They don't understand how a smaller system allows them to speak.
Yep.
And they're doing it for political expediency and to crush their enemies and stuff like that. Why does anyone think that they should have that right to do that in the first place? Since they're clearly just definitely biased, definitely out for blood, and just ignorant of how our system works.
I have an answer.
How could they not be? Oh, yes. What is
I have an answer. Well, in the first paper, they talk about the biases in government.
Yep.
And the motives, more importantly. So when you get enough people that mutually have the same bias, the same motives to undermine what we've got, and then they manipulate the population to believe them and to fracture and fight each other, and then they convince half of that to that the other side is evil, then they become morally justified in cheating, in undermining, all of these conversations that we're having from the past Federalist Papers are so significantly blaring today. All the things that we're witnessing today in our government, they talked about, they laid it down. They're trying to prevent what is happening right now. There's no checks and balances anymore. Judges aren't impartial anymore.
And
no,
even if they are, they're like vulnerable.
Yeah.
To the polarization by the other branches.
Not only that, we had a judge in five or six months ago who her family got assassinated.
Good Lord.
Right. Shot. Her son was shot in the chest because she was one of the judges on an Epstein case. This is the kind of thing that is even people don't even talk about that much, but that's still happening. Okay, these people have so much power, and they're using it. We're seeing Jack Dorsey sent out a picture of a little heart with the top trending apps, and Parler was no longer on it. They're celebrating their monopolies now. Like you said earlier, they're not even going slow anymore. They don't care. It's blatant. Let's just take everyone's freedom away. If you don't believe the narrative, you're gone from the platform. And that's why I said earlier, I cannot believe that I'm still on Twitter. I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm still on YouTube. Here I am talking about how I see the government failing the founding fathers who laid out the groundwork to basically warn the citizens of this country about what's happening right now, what we're seeing in this country. And that scares me because no one's taught this in school. I was talking to my grandma yesterday, and she was telling me about how civics, learning about the Bill of Rights, learning about the Constitution. Did you have to learn it in high school?
Yes.
You did.
It was simply called government, though.
You had a class called government?
It was really boring, too.
Well, of course it is.
The other thing is, I didn't learn in that class that the people were a branch of the government. That's huge.
I didn't actually know that until today myself. That's interesting. The people are a branch of government. I love that.
It's like the
roots
of the tree.
And it's so true.
Yeah.
I love that. The roots of the tree. We hold up the government.
Yes.
Without us, what would they be? They wouldn't have any taxes to pay themselves. Right?
You know what I'm saying? No, printer go brr.
Yeah, exactly. Man, and what happened to civics class? What happened to learning, you know, not even learning it? See, that's one part of it. All right? It's also the understanding of how important it is for us, that what it means to us. Okay, sure. Learning the information is like, yeah, okay, great, boring. But then once you really grasp how important understanding the system that has been in place to give us our or to maintain our freedom. I want to say it because I don't want to say give us our freedom, because we have these freedoms, all right? And that the Constitution is to help us maintain the freedoms that we've got. These Federalist Papers are explaining to the different states, look, we're stronger together, united, exactly. The United States of America, okay? And I thought this was important because I see way too many people saying we should be the divided states of America. Now, I used to say it as a joke last year when I was arguing with Tim, telling him, no, you're wrong, no civil war, I don't believe you. We are not the divided states of America. We are the United States of America. We need to remember that we are united, okay? We have to bring the power back to the people. And that's what Trump was trying to do. And that's part of the reason why I kind of gravitated towards that, because I do feel we, the people, have the power, okay?
E plural unum.
Thank you. Yep.
Also, it's like we need to be united as the whole people, but also stand up for the individual. I keep thinking about that one guy who was really upset in the airport because they put him on the no-fly list. And it's like all this talk about private businesses, but it's like, what about our rights? What's more valuable? And it's becoming apparent what it is, but I don't think we want to continue down that route.
Nope. You know, I don't know if it was United. An air company, whatever, kicked an entire flight out off the plane for singing the national anthem. They all had their masks on, but they were singing the national anthem, so that they literally kicked off the entire plane. Get out, you're done.
That's insane. That's insanity.
It's insane. We are no longer allowed to celebrate this country, which is just appalling. The people that wrote the Federalist Papers, if they were alive today, they would be appalled. They would feel disrespected because people are not realizing what we've got. There are more free people on this planet right now than ever in all of humanity.
And fed people. I want those airlines that kicked off those passengers and who are oppressing the individuals to stop taking all tax subsidies now, because you certainly did not earn them. You are breaking the law by oppressing people like this.
You heard her. I agree with you. Why are they being bailed out? They're going along. I know why. Why? I mean, I just answered my own question. They're going along with the authoritative nature of the people that are biased and are taking over the government. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. I'm probably going to be booted for what?
Well, I know I'm not the most intimidating individual, so me talking crap like that probably makes them laugh. But you know what? Not everyone's like me. There's some really rough and tumble people in this country, and people are going to get angry. People are getting angry, and
no,
people are going to rise up.
People are pissed.
So you either deal with me and do things the logical way, or you'll learn things the hard way. I'm not threatening violence.
You're asking them to be logical? They threw logic out the window a long time ago. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
The silent majority speaks with their dollar. So it's in your own logical interest to stop oppressing people. And it's also in our interest to, like, we do need civics, Adam.
I agree.
To format the taxes and the subsidies again and take back control so that they can't be manipulated like this anymore. But it's difficult. I don't know how, but I'm going to learn.
Good. I believe that you will. And I know you. You're very smart.
Oh,
and
so are you.
Thank you very much. Maybe you and I combined will probably do big things. So I'm going to get into some super chats. We don't have that much time. I hope you enjoyed this. It wasn't as we only have so much time. Although I got to say, the new internet is run to the house. It's just not they didn't give the right modem or something. They didn't install it correctly. So we're this close. Oh, we're so close.
Oh, can I pin?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Everyone, if you want to watch Costigan Block on Amazon, I wanted to pin that movie. So please check it out.
Sure. Okay, what is that?
That is Kent's movie.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what is it?
Costigan Block.
Costigan Block.
Yeah, it's live action, but it also has animated sequences, and Kent did everything. The cool. animation, the writing.
And Kent is?
My boyfriend.
Nice, nice. I know Kent. He's very talented. So go check it out. Costigan Block.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. And you can actually follow her at Serene_Tiffany. Actually, can you not
Saren
see
it? Tiffany.
Oops, sorry.
Like serendipity.
There we go. You couldn't see the underscore. Serene_Tiffany19 on Instagram and Parler.
Yes.
When Parler gets back up on Instagram or on, you're also on Twitter.
I am on Twitter. It's LMLD. Licensed massage therapist, manual lymphatic drainage is what that stands for.
Interesting. Yeah, and you are a licensed massage therapist, aren't you?
I am insured. I'm currently not licensed in this state.
Yeah, because they... Oh, well, Maryland might be better than New Jersey, right?
Yeah, New Jersey was being the butt, so yeah.
Right. Okay. All right, let's get into some super... I'm sure some people have some questions about the Federalist Papers. Maybe we weren't able to get to... And there's 85 of them, and we covered some of the more
prominent and pertinent.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. Ones. All right. So Daniel says the White House YouTube channel never aired the president's speech. Video on my YouTube channel. Here is grip tape money. Thank you so much. That's crazy. I didn't even know that. I had the White House YouTube up, and then I also had the RSB, the Right Side Broadcasting Network YouTube up, and they had like him talking with generals, and they were airing live basically leading up to the speech. So I was just kind of watching what was going on, and then he started speaking and the White House one didn't go on, and I was like, oh, it'll probably go soon, whatever, and I X'd it out and just listened to one. But that's weird that they never would have aired it at all. What does that mean? Chef Jajour says, Adam, I've lost taste and smell due to COVID. I long for the smell of coffee and taste of barbecue brisket. A chef that can't smell or taste is depressing. Man, that really does suck. I wish you well and fast healing because, you know, I do know some personal friends of mine and family that are going through it as well. So I wish you well. Let's see. Minimont says you should learn the American Gladiators theme. I should. You're right. I definitely should. I actually did talk about American Gladiators with Tim, and he didn't actually respond, but he did smile. So maybe he thinks it's a good idea.
That's
I don't.
That's a yes from Tim.
Getting him to smile. He's like, good idea, maybe. Tony says, now do the anti-Federalist Papers. That's the other half of the conversation. That's like a whole night. We barely scratched the surface, I feel, of the Federalist Papers. But why don't you give a breakdown of what the anti-Federalist Papers are real quick?
Although I don't know the specific people, essentially it was the counter-argument at that same time for arguing for not for a central national government because of some of the issues that were like, they were worried that the government would grow too strong. The Anti-Federalist Papers had some important points. I believe that the same authors or advocates for those papers wanted the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights was not an original intention of the Constitution, and it had to be added for North Carolina, Rhode Island, and one other state to agree to ratify the Constitution.
Thank you. Very nice. That Simple Nope said, I thought you were going to do a deep dive on Yuri Bezmenov. Yes, I do still owe you that. This election has taken over my life, and I have Tiffany who was gracious to join me and talk about the Federalist Papers. We've been, her and I have been talking about doing this for a long while, so I'm glad we were able to finally get it done.
Yeah. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm glad you were able to join me. But don't worry, Dat Simple Nope, it's on my radar. Mark G says, I wasn't always a great podcaster. Before I had an army of simps, I wasn't fully up. After waking up, I knew I had to share my experience with everyone in drink form. The best part of walking away is Krigler in your cup.
Nice voiceover acting.
Every time I see Mark G, I'm like, I gotta pull the announcer voice out. Yeah. He never disappoints. Thank you, Mark G. Matt L., thank you for that super chat. John L., Federalist 10 and 84 are the most important documents outside of the Declaration in the American political lexicon. If you haven't read them, you don't fully understand America. You know, I didn't hit up 84. Do you want to check on what 84 is while I read the next super chat? So, because we'll just bring it up, you know? Mm-hmm. Or do you have it right there?
Yeah.
What is it? What's 84?
You can go.
Oh, okay. I'll read the next super chat. Matt L., commie paper centralized power of the government. Yeah, keep printing. Wally McGuire, no question. Just wanted to support you. Keep going, Adam. Thank you so much, Wally. Appreciate that. Did you find it?
I did. It's talking about the Bill of Rights.
Ah, okay.
And this one was one of the seven that was added later. Like, there was the 78 that were published in a book at first, but mm-hmm. then seven more were added later. And yeah, that makes sense. This one, 84, is talking about the Bill of Rights. We should all read it and know where it came from.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely important. Look, to really do a deep dive fully into the Federalist Papers, we could have gone, I mean, we went over, what, seven? Five?
I don't know. Five? Even... I think it's over five, actually.
There's 85 of them, and they're all so good to, you know, knowing what we're going through and what we have. Really, that's the important thing, is knowing what we have. It's really shining a light on what we have in this country. And that I think, is the biggest problem right now, is all these people complaining about America have zero idea of what we have in America. They just keep complaining about things they have no idea. They don't understand.
We should all protest and get civics back. It's actually more important than we realize. Yeah.
I absolutely agree. We need to bring civics back. We need
junior high, I think.
Yeah, and to have it be instilled how important it is to understand it and what it means. Not just here's knowledge, understand it, take a test on it. Okay, you're good. Go on. Yeah, we've got to. All right, let's see here. Blatant Arrogance says, Adam, you're a pretty cool guy. Have some money. Thank you.
I agree.
Thank you. Thank you both. I appreciate that. Roger G says, Twitter/Facebook being smacked down by Uganda is amazing. Okay. Did I mention this part of it? Yeah, I did. I said this earlier. It is, oh my gosh. And the ratio party that is going on, it might be the top tweet of this year. It certainly is so far. My goodness. It is hilarious. Anthony says, please check out the Anti-Federalist Papers, too. Yeah, we talked about it just earlier. Mark G says, Hamilton drools. Patrick Henry rules. The Anti-Federalists were right about the central government becoming overpowered and abusive. It's true. There's no denying that. They were absolutely right on par. Moonman says, since we no longer have control of our process in government and a fraudulent president, we can now protest and say, no taxation without representation. Tell your legislators that also. Yeah, it's a good point, right? I mean,
should we dress up in buffalo costumes?
Maybe. You know, but that's the problem. You know, every single person I ask, even people that voted for Biden, even people that I know that are happy that Biden's in, I ask, well, do you think fraud happened? Yeah. What? Every single person I've asked, do you think fraud happened? Yeah, I do. Well, this is what I said earlier about being morally justified to even cheat. They truly believe it. They're fighting an evil. They're anti-fascists. So even though Trump is literally saying, let's make America as strong as we can make it and stop giving government control, they've convinced half the population that that's a bad thing and the government should have more control.
It's so twisted.
Goodness sakes. Neem Guy, thank you for that super chat. Nuke the Ice Caps says, we all have our own biases. Have you ever tried to communicate with people between your own bias? It's like speaking a foreign language, or at very least, a different dialect. It's true. I even admit it myself. Some people were like, whoa, Adam, on your show, you're a little biased when you report on things. And I'm like, yeah. Does it say Timcast down there? No, it says Adamcast down there. All right. This is my show. This is my bias that I'm giving you. Granted, I give you the research that I give, that I find, and then talk about my bias. Everyone is biased. Even that fence sitter back over there, he's biased. It's true. You're biased.
Yep.
You're biased. Everyone's biased. It's just a simple truth, and that is the first Federalist paper talking about how everyone's going to be biased. Everyone's going to have a motive. Let's see here. Gabe says, hey, Adam, I think you were right yesterday. I'm in a deep blue state, so politics is out of the question, but I'll stay for now. Thank you for caring. Gabe, at no point is it out of the question, okay? Every single voice matters. We, the people, matter. Your voice makes a difference, okay?
Yes.
That attitude right there is what they want you to believe, that you have no choice. You're in a deep blue state, so it's out of the question to make an even slight dent. Well, I think you're wrong there, Gabe, and I think you should rethink your situation, okay? Get in there. At least go to this courthouse and or the state house, whatever it is, you know, city council meetings, and just participate. Let that be the beginning, and just start there.
It must be really scary, and I sympathize with you being worried, but maybe what you could do first is, like, consolidate some true friends that, like, know your situation and your true beliefs, and, like, consolidate some business contacts, and, like, so that you have some support system first before speaking out. But the rights of the individual should be most sovereign in this nation, and your voice does matter, Gabe.
Yes, it does. Gerg C says, now that we are energy independent, we no longer need to bother with being the world police for profit. Thank you, President Trump. Got a point? Yep. Josh Eldridge says, the House just introduced an article to abolish Electoral College today, wasting no time. We are so screwed unless we are lefties. Yeah, I saw that they did that. And it's fitting that today I was going to be doing my deep dive on the Federalist Papers. They are trying to get rid of the republic that we have. They want to be a democracy, which is funny because they are convincing the minorities that they need to fight the republic, which takes the voice away from the minorities. It's crazy. It's crazy how brainwashed they are. My goodness. John L. says, Adam, you need to understand the history of the Democrat Party to understand what they want. They've always pushed for democratization and populism. They are a party of demagogues, always have been. Yeah, I have no argument. Mark G says, I do wish the founders kept the central government weak. It makes sense for the central to represent the nation international, but should not control the laws of states except for the Bill of Rights. Oh, man, see, I got to give it up to my viewers. You guys get it. And I want more of you to get into government. You mentioned it earlier. It's the people that don't want the power that we want in there. And it's the people that want the power who are in charge. We got to flip that. You know, and I know a lot of you, man, you guys are so on point with all these super chats that you've been giving me. And thank you, by the way, for all of the support. But seriously, you guys are on point so much of the time. It's amazing how much you add to this show and how with it you are. And that's why Gabe, when I see you and you say politics is out of the question, I'm like, no, it's us that are going to make the difference. It's them that are convincing people like you that it's out of the question is what's furthering the divide and their power. And you have to recognize that and get into government anyway. And a lot of people are calling for me to get into government. And I have a feeling, and I just got to say, I have a feeling I'm making much more of a difference telling you to get into government on my platform right now than the difference of me actually getting into government right now. Anyway, that's how I feel. So let's see here. Mark G again says the biggest issue now within state level politics, an urban culture can pass laws state and nationwide that clash with the rural. 2020 in a nutshell. That's a very good point.
That's what happens in Illinois. Chicago controls Illinois.
Yep.
And Illinois is like all red other than Chicago.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon, Portland controls Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing.
California,
Seattle,
too.
Yeah. California. Yep. Most of the state. Most of the West Coast is red. It's just the pockets of blue that have the crazy amount of population.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Yep. We got to figure that, and they're trying to get rid of the Electoral College. All of the people's voice there would be lost completely then.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. We can't let them do that. I am insanity. I had people show up to my house here in Texas, death threats, and had to shut down my news channel. Now mainly do Let's Plays, this account. Worst part is, despite that being legally insane, I'm constantly told to run for office. Well, my goodness, I'm sorry that you are dealing with that. That's that is a shame to have to deal with. My goodness. Ribs Exposed said, it's nice to see you doing deep dives again. Not only do you learn more, but we learn with you. Yeah, I've learned a lot learning about the I love this country.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've learned the most over this past year, is how much I love America. I love it. I'm a patriot. I love this country. And I love it more so now. You know, I've gained such a respect for the founders of this country.
I'll fight with everything I can to protect it. Yeah.
Awesome. Nuke the Ice Cap says, better than Don Jr. running? Ivanka being first elected, FM president, emphasis on elected, because we all know Joe is not the president, Kamala is. Ooh. Too soon? Too soon? No, probably not. Rittler says, this election has taught me that as long as you have the courts and the media on your side, you can do whatever the F you want in this country. That is a very sad but true fact, Rittler. Mark G says, the other thing with checks and balances is how many executive branch bureaus have been made without elected accountable, good or bad.
Yes.
I.e. ATF, EPA, FBI, DHS. That's a good point. It's a good point. Yep. Kurt Christel says, the white wigs are a carryover from England. True. Yep, that's a good point. Augustine, someone tell me who she is. Why don't you introduce yourself a little more officially? I kind of just rolled right into the episode, but for those who don't know who you are, why don't you introduce yourself?
My name's Tiffany Tapp. I am Tim Pool's assistant, and I am a voiceover actress. And I am Adam's friend.
Yep.
And I'm very grateful to have been on the show today. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
And you can actually follow her. Oh, there we go. Right here on Instagram and Parler when it comes back up. And why don't you drop your Twitter handle one more time?
At LMTMLD. So capital L, capital M, LMTMLD.
There you go. And I also want to just add that you're a crazy bookworm. How many books would you say you've read in your lifetime? Do you have a number?
I keep rough track of it.
Yeah.
I'm at 379.
Wow. And nonfiction. Fiction, nonfiction?
There's a mixture. There's a few poetry books in there, but mostly nonfiction. It's because there's too many nonfiction books. There's so much to learn.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's what I do during COVID. It's like, I'm kind of a homebody person, but I needed something to do. So just not too much video games. So I needed books.
But you do play.
I do.
I know
I like
you do.
Dragon Age right now.
I'm trying to convince her to play Red Dead Redemption 2.
I did play it.
No, you didn't.
It kicked my butt.
Most games too, until you get the flow of it. Come on, you know it. Anyway, Kaiser TV says, term limits not the answer. Need to ratify the original First Amendment, capping reps to 60K per one rep. We need like 5,000 more congressmen. Reach out to Dick Masterson. Interesting.
I've heard that proposed before.
So capping their payment per year, which is a ridiculous amount. It's like $160,000 a year or something, which is crazy money.
And they get good health insurance too.
Yeah, not to add into the everything that's paid for them, you know, travel, secretaries, you know, everything that comes in with it. I mean it's pretty insane. But 5,000 more congressmen, like, geez, I don't know. I'm not sure. That's interesting though. Dick Masterson. I wonder who that is. I'm curious. I'm gonna look that up after the fact. Okay. All right. Nuke the Ice Cap says the formation of political parties fundamentally defeats democracy. It's not a sporting event. It's our future. Good point. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh! I just had a super chat jump. Give me a second. My goodness, you guys are fantastic. Thank you. Here we go. Cranked Bacon Jumps says, someone once said that the Constitution is outdated. That was weird. Or I thought that was weird, considering how incredibly ahead of its time the Constitution was. Mm-hmm. Even today, it's pretty forward-thinking compared to other modern-day constitutions. I agree with you completely. The only thing outdated in the Constitution is the wording. It's old English. It's hard to read because it's written in a different time. But the foundation of what it is certainly not it's everlasting.
Yes,
it's the protecting the inalienable rights of being a human being.
Its foundation is why, right, we were able to end slavery and give women the right to vote in this country, because like it's basic principle.
All right, I need you to do something.
Oh yeah.
Okay, here.
Yes.
You gotta put those on. Everyone that comes on my show must smash the like button. And if you haven't smashed that like button, you better be smashing that like button. I got this like. Look at this thing. This thing has. Do you remember this pillow? Someone sent this actually to the Timcast IRL show. And of course, I appropriated it because it's mine. All right, I need you to smash it. Smash. Smash. Yeah.
God bless the USA.
All right. That was some wonderful smashing. Okay. All right. And that's okay. I might have to put a new thing back there. But all right, let's see. Dinnermans says, my government history civics teacher was the best. Awesome. That's it's funny because you're actually aging yourself a little bit there. Oops. Because I know that they stopped probably around my age, you're our age, right? I actually don't know how old you are, but you don't have to say it.
Yeah.
You don't have to say it. But
people think what
but,
they
but
think.
But they don't do it anymore. It's not a thing anymore. You know, it's like civics is gone.
They don't even have government classes. Like, they just call it something stupid and different. But
true.
It was really weak.
They don't want people to know about it, though.
It was different. It wasn't civics. Because civics is apparently, according to what I know, used to be like all 4 years of high school.
Like, oh, okay.
A semester each year, I think, is what it used to be and what it should be.
Right on, right on. XD Interactive says, did you know that we have 26 of the 34 states needed to start a constitutional convention? Do you realize how dangerous a constitutional convention would be? I don't know about that, but I'm curious now to know what you mean by that. So I'm going to look that up after the show, what that is. A constitutional convention. I'll let everyone know. Let's see. It took place in 1787. Yeah, but what is it, though? Contemporarily known as a federal convention. But what is it?
I believe it modifies the Constitution itself. Ah. Perhaps instills an amendment.
Ah, okay. Interesting. I'm going to look more into it. White Lasagna says, those who are most suited for power do not seek it. Aragorn has entered the chat. Ah, nice. Dinnermints, Convention of States. Right on. Brewmaster Monk, I'm worried about what would happen if our nukes, if we split up. We should stay together just for that. This is a great show. Thank you, Brewmaster. I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. Jiffer, the left is already attacking freedom of speech. Do not protest. Do not show up with arms. This is bait and switch by the left to go after the 2A. That's true. I'm seeing this flyer for show up with your weapons on the 19th. And it's like, why? What's that going to do?
I admit I was a little suspicious of that.
Yeah, everyone is. It's in the same format and colors of Antifa flyers. It's like, get out of here. That's crazy. Empower says, hey, Adam, I love these deep dive discussions. This is needed more than ever. Please do more. Like about the Tacoma Chinese expulsion in 1885. Yes, I do miss my deep dives. I really do enjoy them. Thank you for joining me today. I am going to try to do more. Julianne, Tiffany reminds me of an actress, Tina Margarino. Margarino? Do you know who that is?
I do not, but I should look her up, and yeah. I'm really flattered. I wanted to be an actress.
Maybe you will one day.
I would love to.
XD Interactive says, you realize that this audience is not going to watch anything on the anti-free speech Amazon, right?
Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's your right.
Heather Reed, please go to the Convention of States website, sign the petition, and share it widely. It's the only remaining civil way we'll change anything. I'm going to look into it. Doc says, Adam, check out South Dakota. No taxes. We are booming here. Government is kicking it. Governor Noem, she seems awesome. She seems awesome. Yep. Queen Zelda says, take zinc. It'll restore your sense of taste and smell. Good to know for all those who are out there. Someone super chatted earlier that they have chef du jour, I believe. They lost their sense of taste and smell. Take some zinc. It'll help your body. Jake Dog, you going to get the Braille team to skate your park? I would love to reach out to Braille. First try would be great. First try. King Lenny, other than losing your smell from COVID, you could get blood clots around your teeth. Happened to one of my mom's friends. Interesting. That's frightening. Liberty Prime says, bro, I literally bought the Federalist Papers and Anti-Federalist Papers books like 2 days ago, and now you're doing a stream. Crazy coincidence. Awesome. Awesome. AJ.
Anti-Federalist Papers.
You got to get that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. And you got to add it to your book lists. Mm-hmm. AJ says, a military intelligence officer at Fort Bragg had to resign this week because she went to D.C. A few months ago, a BLM protesting was allowed. Yeah, the hypocrisy is ridiculous. John says, Federalist 84 argued that the defined Bill of Rights could be construed in the future to deny other rights not written down. It led to the 9th and 10th Amendments to placate the anti-federalists. Ah, interesting. Tanner says, we haven't been united for a long time. We are just segregated. Social media digitally desegregated us and revealed our irreconcilable differences. That's a really interesting point. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, and Eric July was talking about how, Brandon Tatum. Mm-hmm. He was talking about how we are so drastically different all over the place. Maybe it was Eric July. I think it might have been Eric July. I've been listening to so many different podcasters. Both of those two guys are fantastic, by the way. If you don't know either of them, you should. Let's see. Paper City Gamer Jeff says, I emailed my legislators today, but I live in Massachusetts, so I'm sure they didn't even read my emails. Yeah, probably not. Samus says, I'm thinking about getting into politics. Who should I reach out to? I'm 20 in Georgia. Start with your local jurisdiction. Find your city council and walk in and ask, what can I do? How do I get involved? When's the next open meeting, the town hall meeting? You know, start small. Know who your immediate representatives are in your small town, wherever you are. Or if you're in a big town, whatever county, you know, go to the state house and start there. I think that's the best way to get into it. I mean, I don't know. I've never gotten into politics myself. I've just certainly becoming more political lately. I.B. Rippenham says, you should deep dive about the role gas played in the Revolutionary War. The fart heard round the world is a particularly interesting story. Maybe I can have you on the show and talk about it, huh, IB? Lucky Luckadoo says, I just found you guys. Love the content. Keep it up. Thank you very much. Thank you. I am insanity. Did my OG $20 super chat not go through? I did read your super chat. You were talking about how you were getting some crazy death threats, so I hope you're safe. John L. says, hey, Adam, I emailed you a brief write-up on the causes and consequences of the Battle of Culloden. Did you see it by chance? No, but did you super chat me about it yesterday? I did read a little bit about it, but I'm interested to see what you wrote me. Roger G says, per Elijah Schaefer's Twitter from 2 hours ago, the attack on the Capitol Hill started 20 minutes before Trump's speech ended. Makes you wonder. Yes, I've been reading about this, and I was at Trump's speech, and people were glued to his every word, listening to what he had to say. It's crazy to think about. And most everyone that went to D.C., they didn't go there for the Capitol. They went there for Trump because he asked them to go. So those people that were at the Capitol, they weren't Trump supporters. Get out of here. Robert says, best prez of my lifetime. Brought the guts to smaller local voices who are now big. Kim Klasick, Anna Paulina, Luna, etc. Leaders by example. Yep. And it's a shame Kim didn't get in.
I love her.
I would have voted for her. Yeah, we both got to meet her. She's very nice. Joseph says, with all the censorship, I'm wondering when we'll come full circle and remember, no taxation without representation. I don't know what the future holds, but...
What about IRS Form 4686? I believe you can delay your taxes until October, but maybe make the federal government make what it feels like to wait for money, just like they've done to us.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm not advocating for anything. I don't want to get in trouble.
It's not fraud. It's in their law.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know. I'm not saying don't pay your taxes. Brian Beatty says, Colorado was a solid purple state until mail-in voting a couple elections ago. They used Colorado's mail-in voting model nationwide this election. Oof, I want to look more into that. George Orwell says, welcome to the brave new normal. Great super chat. Oh my gosh. A fellow bro says, first time tuning in since you and Tim went different ways. I'm digging the show and it's good to see you still moving forward. Thank you, a fellow bro. I appreciate that. Yeah. Wow. So I've been going consistent. I'm almost at episode 100. This Friday will be my 100th episode. I'm going to do some fun, exciting things. I'll probably give away something fun. Maybe I'll give another board away. Tune in this Friday. It's going to be a really good show. I'm really looking forward. Maybe I'll give some coffee away. I did start a coffee business. So I am Insanity says, do you like rum? No, I'm more of a whiskey guy. I like my scotch. Single malt. The older, the better. Mythic Skills says, did you see the new Veritas video I did about the PBS guy that... it's crazy. I'm going to do a full segment on that probably tomorrow. Solarth says, Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution gives sole authority in which ever manner the state legislators choose to select the electors. Okay, interesting. I mean, yeah, but we've seen how that can work, though. Jared says, hashtag we demand more Tiffany. Nice. Nice.
What?
Yeah, maybe we can do like a political thing. You can come and share or whatever. You actually, you know, we could pick a book that you feel people need to. I know you got a lot of books under your belt, so you could be like, this book people need to know about, and you can come on the show and tell us about it.
Yeah, Anti-Federalist Papers and Ordinary Men.
She already got two. Yeah, we should do a deep dive on the Anti-Federalist Papers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. And highlight the good ones there. Chris Brown says, decentralization starts with returning power to the state. The shift from state to federal power was the outcome of the Civil War. Thoughts? Well, I feel like this is exactly what happened. Yep. Vance Young says, just want to say, you show a lot more gratitude to your audience and a lot more fun than your competitor. Keep up the great work. Thank you so much. And you're right. I have so much gratitude for every single one of you that are watching me and have show up for me every episode. You guys are fantastic. Thank you very much for watching my show. I would not be here without any of you. Brian says, I deactivated my Facebook account in October, but recently got a 30-day ban from Messenger for sending a message that went against community standards. My goodness, that's crazy. All right. Well, we are way over time by 4 minutes, but that's okay. Look, thank you all so much for joining me. And most importantly, thank you, Tiffany, for joining me today. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for inviting me and thank you for your encouragement. And yeah, this was so fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you, everybody. I will be back tomorrow at 6:30 here on Atomcast IRL. You guys have a wonderful night. Goodbye. Please smash the like button for Atomcast IRL. Coming to you live every night, Monday through Fridays, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time.